We are just weeks away from the start of the new school year, and already we're hearing about changes soon coming to high school baseball. Joining us now for the details is the executive director of the CIAC, Glenn Lungarini, is back. And Glenn, welcome. Tell me, what's happening to baseball?
Coming in 2027 is going to be the update of the first base rule, where you're going to have double bases at first base. That was instituted as a safety policy. It's been something that the NCAA instituted this past season. So the NFHS looked at data and looked at the implementation of that at the collegiate level, and decided that that would be an appropriate implementation at the high school level as well.
I mean, have we seen anything in the past, Glenn, that would have led to this decision to change?
You know, it'll be interesting to see if it really makes that much of an effect. I could tell you, I mean, I was a first baseman for my entire baseball career up through college. And, you know, I had one serious collision at first base, but most of the collisions that happen at first base are because of bad throws. So, I mean, the double base isn't going to fix bad throws, but it's going to maybe give a little bit more time for, for people to react if the runner is taking a different lane to that outside base rather than straight down the line.
Okay. Glenn Lungarini is here. And is there anything else, Glenn, that's happening in the upcoming year, a couple of years? I know you said with baseball, that's not technically rolling out this school year. But are there other things that we can anticipate happening, maybe not just for baseball, but for other sports?
Yeah, you know, a lot of focus right now still remains on just paying attention to the health and safety standards that that we have in place. You know, recently there, I believe it was in Tennessee, there was a heat-related death of a high school player in a football workout. So, you know, as we approach the start of the season in about 2.5 weeks here, it's really focusing on making sure that we have the right plans in place that are part of our protocols, ensuring that those are being rehearsed. There's nothing from a rules change standpoint this year that will have, you know, any significant impact or any meaningful change to any of our sports. So it's a good year for us to make sure that we're really focusing on those practices and procedures that ensure student safety and give them a great experience in high school athletics.
And Glenn, something else that we talk about, well, most frequently, I think, on this show is unruly either parents or fans or even coaches. Anything that is being added to what I know the CIAC has already rolled out in previous years, anything else that you're looking at, especially with, I think, football practices are starting pretty soon, if not already?
Yeah, football practices start in the middle of August, so we're getting close to that. We've had we're just completing our second year of the summer workouts that we that were instituted on a trial basis. Those went extremely well again this year, so that's something that the CIAC Board of Control will be reviewing and looking to make a permanent fixture moving forward. With fan behavior, again, we're working to get all of our schools on board with our Class Act program. We have 184 member schools. I believe we're at 172 schools right now that are part of this program. You know, and the idea is we may not be able to completely stop the bad behavior that comes out, but by taking proactive measures, we can limit it. We could put standards in place. We can have expectations that we can hold the spectators accountable for and our coaches and players accountable for as well. So I think that's a real important part of education-based athletics, is communicating the expectations and then holding people accountable to those actions, which we've done, including suspending parents' rights to attend postseason contests.
For people who don't know sort of your background, your accolades that you've had before, you had served on the cheerleading committee. You had served on previously?
Yeah. I served when I was an athletic director in the Southwest Conference. I was the chair of the Southwest Conference cheerleading committee. When I became a principal, I became the principal chair of the CIAC cheerleading committee, and I continue to be involved with that in my current position.
What do you think of America's Sweethearts? I had no idea you had this position, but I'm obsessed with that show. I've already gone through two seasons of it. For those of you who have not watched it, I just got my mom into it. It follows the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, and it really helps you to understand why they are America's Sweethearts. And I have such a newfound respect as a competitive dancer previously myself. I did not realize what they went through. And I was just curious what you thought of that. Like, I mean, really highlighting the sport of cheerleading.
Yeah, you know, it's been an ongoing kind of battle and stigma that the cheerleaders face in terms of, you know, are they a sport? You always get that question asked and, you know, kind of debate that goes on. And to me, the answer is absolutely yes. The amount of gymnastics, the amount of strength training that goes into being able to perform at a high level is just as challenging as, you know, any other sport that we sanction and that we conduct. Also, out of cheerleading, we've seen the sport of tumbling and competitive tumbling emerge as well. So that is a very highly competitive collegiate sport right now. And, you know, another place that kids are earning collegiate scholarships and, you know, having great opportunities to continue to compete. So cheerleading is a very demanding sport. I think most people just see them on the sidelines, doing the sideline cheer. That is one small aspect of what goes into performing and cheerleading. What they do in their performances is extremely taxing on the body. And it's one of the sports that has the highest rate of concussions out there. So again, when you're throwing girls up in the air, when you're catching them, the flyer and somebody hitting their head, or the bases, the people underneath catching them, getting hit is a high risk. And that is one of the dangers of that sport.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, for people who are getting their kids into cheerleading, understanding that it's not just, you know, girls like looking cute with pom-poms. That's not what we're talking about. This is truly a pretty unbelievable sport.
Absolutely. And, you know, at the club and competitive level, I mean, it's a multi-million-dollar institution with major championships held on the Walt Disney properties at the Wide World of Sports several times a year. Varsity Sports is one of the premier cheerleading organizations out there. They control most of the youth and club cheerleading programs and do an outstanding job.
Glenn Lungarini, again, executive director for the CIAC. Thank you so much for always giving us the time. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, Melissa. Take care.